Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher is backing the Taoiseach as the Fianna Fáil candidate for the presidency. Businesses have had to shut, sick people have had no access to water and children have started the new school term unable to wash because of widespread water outages in Inishowen over the past week. Efforts are continuing to improve access to specialist neurology care at Letterkenny University Hospital. And some students are commuting between Donegal and Dublin because there aren't enough rooms available to rent. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have all the latest in sport coming up with Mark Gallagher at about 5:15, followed by Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. Starting with some sad news this evening, and former Finn Harps and Fanage United manager Ollie Horgan has died at the age of 57. He passed away following an illness. Mark Gallagher will have more on the passing of Ollie Horgan during the sport at 5:15. Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher is backing the Taoiseach as the Fianna Fáil candidate for the presidency. He's calling for a parliamentary party meeting to be held to finalise the party's nomination. The party hasn't run its own candidate since Mary McAleese, who was president from 1997 to 2011. Deputy Gallagher says that Micheál Martin would be a strong candidate.
Fianna Fáil should meet at the earliest possible date to decide A, on running a candidate, and B, to run a candidate from the Fianna Fáil gene pool. And of course, my preferred choice would be the leader of the party, Micheál Martin himself, who is a high profile in Ireland and indeed throughout all of the Europe. And I believe that if Micheál Martin were the candidate, that he would be successful.
And if it was a case that a meeting wasn't called, you were quoted as saying that there should be, I suppose, a two-day deadline, 48 hours, and if that doesn't happen within, then that the members will take it into their own hands, so to speak.
No, I do believe that there will be a meeting. There will be a meeting sooner rather than later. The next time we have a scheduled meeting is in the 16th, 17th September, which is the normal meeting prior to the reassembling of the Dáil, and that takes place in Cork. But I believe that's too late, that there'll need to be a meeting earlier than that.
And if the meeting didn't happen, do you think would members make a nomination themselves?
No, I don't think that will happen. I think that won't arise.
Sinn Féin, meanwhile, may not have a presidential election candidate in place for another 3 weeks. Mary Lou MacDonald says the party will make a decision on its approach by September the 20th. Political correspondent Sean Defoe says Sinn Féin are leaving it late in the day to announce.
Well, there's a couple of trains of thought. One being that by having a candidate in the race later, they face less media scrutiny, less of that intense glare of the spotlights of a presidential campaign. The other is, if it's someone not very well known, they only have 4 weeks really, maybe five, to get a campaign together, and you miss maybe some of the key milestones like the National Ploughing Championships, which is usually really fertile ground for candidates to go out and meet as many people as possible. So it's a risky strategy, but both Sinn Féin and Fianna Fáil look like their candidate won't be ready until, at best, the second week of September.
Businesses have had to shut, sick people have had no access to water, and children have started the new school term unable to wash because of widespread water outages in Inishowen over the past week. Councillor Jack Murray has reiterated the frustrations of people in the peninsula, some of whom were without water for 5 days. While supply has now returned to most areas, a boil water notice remains in place in Kildaff, and water conservation restrictions are in place in Clonmany, Ballyliffin and Carndonagh. Councillor Murray says Éisce Éireann needs to realise for once and for all that investment is urgently needed to provide adequate water infrastructure in Inishowen.
We've had regular water outages for a number of years, quite frequently, but I don't remember a time just as bad as it's been for the last week. The likes of Tubin had 4 bursts in a row that impacted them, with the main trunk main and Fawn that left most of South Inishowen without water for most of the day. I spoke to residents in Inch Island who were affected 5 days in a row. I also know that East Inishowen, Moville, Quigley's Point, Redcastle were all impacted. There's a boil water notice in Kildaff, so it's never been more stark just how much investment we need in the entire Inishowen Peninsula. We need to recruit more staff. staff to deal with these bursts, but we need the infrastructure replaced in many cases so that these bursts just don't happen again.
And I know that Itgearn is due to meet with yourselves next month, but surely people can't be left without water all this time, and Itgearn does need to be a bit more proactive in this.
Exactly, and Itgearn quite often would send out great press releases praising themselves for the investment they're putting into other areas, but that just for me frustrates me more when I know how badly it's needed in Inishowen. And look, a water supply is not a luxury service, and it's not just an inconvenience when it goes out. This is a hugely, hugely important. It's a vital service that people expect. We've had school children returning to school this week who couldn't get washed for the first day of school. With businesses closing down, elderly people, sick people can't get access to water, and they really, really need it. So I know that every single councillor in Inishowen, all nine of us from the very north to the very south of the peninsula, we're putting a united front on this when we meet with Irish Water, and we will be demanding that our people are treated with respect and we get the investment that we've needed for so long.
Over 2,500 school secretaries and caretakers are expected to strike for a second day tomorrow. They say it's necessary because they're being denied access to public service pensions and other entitlements. Schools are continuing as normal, and Fórsa Trade Union has asked remaining staff not to carry out secretary or caretaker duties. A number of secretaries and caretakers from Donegal have taken part in a protest in Dublin today. One of them, Bridgetta, says they have no other choice but to strike. She says that action will have a knock-on effect on the running of schools.
It's just shocking to me at this stage of my life that I have to go and strike for a pension. It's crazy. It's just crazy. We're going into uncharted territory right now. We don't really know where this is going to end up. Like, it's going to have to play out day by day. We do the payroll for teachers, SNAs and subs. That won't be happening. That's the first immediate thing. The new kids coming in, it's going to break our hearts not to see them coming in as like we usually do. Our jobs are not going to be done when we're not there. Any work that's going to just pile up on our desk, the caretakers' work's all going to be piled up for when it goes back. So then it's going to be a catch-up when we eventually do go back.
Meanwhile, President of the ASTI, Donegal-based Padraig Curley, says it's shameful that secretaries and caretakers are not treated equally. Mr Curley and the General Secretary, Kieran Christie, led an ASTI delegation at Fórsa's national rally in Dublin earlier outside the offices of the Department of Public Expenditure. Padraig says that both play a crucial role within the school system.
We have issued advice to our ASTI members, so we have told them that we don't want any of our members to go and do the jobs that the school secretaries and caretakers perform.
It also will highlight the importance of the work that the caretakers and the secretaries do.
Absolutely. I'm in the second level sector. Secretaries are the first point of contact, as I said, very often. I mean, I would say parents out there are well used to talking to secretaries and how helpful secretaries can be when they have a problem. They really are, you know, vital to a school and can give a great insight into the ethos and, you know, how the school is as an environment.
Efforts are continuing to improve access to specialist neurology care at Letterkenny University Hospital. It's been confirmed that a locum consultant neurologist is due to commence work at the hospital on Monday, September the 8th. The HSE says the appointment will significantly enhance neurology services at the hospital and will help alleviate waiting lists. 52 Palestinian students are due to arrive in Ireland this week to begin university studies. They've been offered scholarships and were evacuated from Gaza following a complex operation led by Irish diplomats in the Middle East. The first group is arriving today, with the remainder following tomorrow and on Sunday. Thomas Simon Harris says it's a practical way to help people in Gaza.
I'm really delighted and relieved to say that today that evacuation has successfully taken place. Obviously, these students are coming from a war-torn region, from the most horrific humanitarian situation. They will, of course, be assessed in terms of their health, in terms of their nourishment, and in terms of any supports required to them in relation to that. And they then will take up study in Irish universities.
Some students are commuting between Donegal and Dublin because there aren't enough rooms available to rent. AMLAI, formerly the USI, is calling on locals near colleges and universities to offer spare rooms to students. 78% of those going to the University of Galway are finding it hard to get accommodation, while students at other colleges can't cover weekly costs. President of AMLE, Brian O'Mahony, says some students are forced into long commutes.
If I was to go to the very extremes, I would have been talking to a student from TUD who had to fly from Donegal twice a week in order to get to class. When I was education officer in SETU in Waterford, I would have had a student ring me at the start of the year asking what was the best way to commute to Laois to Waterford every single day.
More than 13,000 illicit cigarettes, a vehicle and cash have been seized as part of an operation in Derry. Revenue and Customs personnel, supported by the PSNI, conducted a series of inspections in the city yesterday. A total of 12 commercial premises, one residential address and one vehicle were inspected. No arrests have been made at this time, but inquiries are ongoing. The Ulster Farmers Union Deputy President says it's important farmers are communicated with as the A5 debacle continues. The UFU is set to meet with officials from the Department for Infrastructure to discuss the major project. Earlier this year, the High Court ruled that the department's plans for the A5 did not comply with climate change targets. An appeal has since been submitted. John McLenaghan says the department needs to fulfil its immediate obligations and engage with landowners.
We called first from the Minister so we could have a meet just to discuss what's happening next to those affected landowners around the A5. I mean, the saga continues and continues. The important thing is, I suppose, from our point of view, that farmers are communicated with and they know what the next steps options are available for them.
And what will be top of that agenda at that meeting?
It will be just to understand what happens next, Michaela. You know, we all were familiar at this stage with the fact the land was vested. And now there was a court ruling, which is, we understand it, has returned it. But the problem being that the land hasn't returned the way it left. And the problem the landowners have is, what do they do with it? The obligation, as we understand it, is for the Department for Infrastructure to return it to as they found it. And we need to know what the timeline around that's going to be, when that's going to happen, because, I mean, this is land. It's valuable to the farmers in terms of their farming activities and running their businesses. They've been without it, you know, for quite a number of months now, and they just need to know what's happening next.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find the perfect running shoe for peak performance at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time now for all the latest in sport with Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Michaela. Good evening. We'll start with that sad news that former Finn Harps and Fannett United manager Ollie Horgan has passed away at the age of 57 after an illness. Horgan, a former school teacher at St Junan's College in Letterkenny, managed Finn Harps from 2013 until 2022 in the club's most successful spell of recent times. Horgan started his managerial career with Fannett United in the Ulster Senior League, leading them to three league titles before moving on to manage their under-19 team in 2011. Horgan took charge of the Fannett under-19 side until he departed from the club to join Finn Harps in 2013, where he succeeded Peter Hutton. He spent 9 years at Finn Park and had the club competing with the best teams in the country in the Premier Division for a lot of his reign. Following his departure in 2022, Horgan then went on to be the assistant manager at his hometown club Galway United until he stepped away earlier this month. Speaking to Kieran Cannon on our weekend sports show a number of weeks ago, Ollie fondly recalled the memories made during his time at Finn Park.
I always look at the goals. I always look at, you know, the teams and who they put out. And, you know, they seem to have turned the corner and make a shape for the playoffs, which would be mighty, because, you know, the supporters that were there in my time and the people that volunteered and helped, and the staff and players, you know, we had brilliant, brilliant nights, fabulous nights, and please God they'll have more of them to come in the future.
We'll be talking more about the life and career of Ollie Horgan on the Score programme this evening between 7 and 8. History could be made tonight as two Irish clubs look to reach the group stage of a UEFA competition in the same season. Shelburne lead Linfield 3-1 going into the second leg of their Europa Conference League playoff tie. Reds boss Joey O'Brien wants to see his players take a positive approach to the game.
Yeah, still all to play for me. Obviously, you've seen how tight the game was last week. Here, the difference between 2-2 and 3-1 was a penalty save, you know. So, yeah, definitely still all to play for. It's all about coming out tomorrow and getting a fast start ourselves. Going and attacking the game, really, and yeah, getting on the front foot.
It's a 7:45 kickoff at Windsor Park, and Shelburne are boosted by the return of centre forward Sean Boyd. Shamrock Rovers will look to progress to the Conference League group stage in back-to-back years. The Hoops lead Portuguese outfit Santa Clara 2-1 going into the second leg of their tie at Tallaght Stadium. Kickoff is at 8. Well, after struggling with injury in recent months, Seamus Coleman played the full game last night as Everton defeated Mansfield Town 2-0 in the EFL Cup. It was the Killybegs man's first time captaining the club at the new Hill Dickinson Stadium. Coleman told club media Asia, he had to learn to be patient with his injuries.
Yeah, very happy. Yeah, it was good to get through it. I've been feeling quite good. I think from a personal level, you know, I've kind of maybe put myself first for maybe the first time in a long time in terms of listening to the physios and not pushing it and not going, right, I feel good, let me out. And the physios have been great with me, and I've been patient maybe for the first time in a long time as well, and listen to the plan and listen to the programme. And, you know, thankfully I felt good tonight, and getting through 90 minutes psychologically, great for me as well.
In tennis, there's more second round action at the US Open today. Russian 15th seed Andrei Rublev has taken the first set against unseeded American Tristan Boyer. 10th seed Lorenzo Massetti is in action against Belgian David Goffin. And later on Arthur Ashe Court, men's world number one and defending champion Jannik Sinner is up against Alexei Popperin. Reigning Wimbledon women's champion Iga Swiatek is currently contesting the opening set against Susan Lammens at the Flushing Meadows. In golf, Leona Maguire is level par with 5 to play on day 1 of the FM Championship on the LPGA Tour. Stephanie Meadow is 3 over and playing the final hole of her first round. Australia's Minji Lee holds a one-shot lead on 5 under. Finally in cycling, 4-time Tour de France winning cyclist Chris Froome is in a stable condition after being airlifted to hospital following a crash. The 40-year-old will have surgery later after suffering 5 broken ribs, a fractured lumbar vertebrae and a collapsed lung. Froome suffered the crash while on a training ride in southern France. That's all your sport for now, but don't forget to join us after the 7 o'clock news where we will be paying tribute to the late great Ollie Horgan. Michaela.
Thanks, Mark. Weather now mostly cloudy with scattered showers, some heavy this evening. There will be a risk of spot flooding and isolated thunderstorms. Lowest temperatures tonight of 11 to 13 degrees. The closing headlines this evening. Donegal Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher is backing the Taoiseach as the Fianna Fáil candidate for the presidency. He's calling for a parliamentary meeting to be held to finalise the party's nomination. Businesses have had to shut, sick people have had no access to water, and children have started the new school term unable to wash because of widespread water outages in Inishowen over the past week. Councillor Jack Murray has reiterated the frustrations of people in the peninsula, some of whom were without water for 5 days. Efforts are continuing to improve access to specialist neurology care at Letterkenny University Hospital. It's been confirmed that a locum consultant neurologist is due to commence work at the hospital on Monday, September the 8th. And some students are commuting between Donegal and Dublin because there aren't enough rooms available to rent. AMLE, formerly the USI, is calling on locals near colleges and universities to offer spare rooms to students. That's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Coming up next is Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. Good evening.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio with me, Chris Ashmore. Irish potato consumption levels increased last year in both value and volume. According to Bord Bia, the Irish retail market for potatoes is valued at around €220 million a year. And one of the key drivers in the market has been the growth in potato consumption among consumers aged 35 years or less. Well, approximately 30% of potatoes are now sold in value-added form across Irish retail outlets, and this figure is forecast to increase significantly during the years ahead. Potatoes remain Ireland's favourite vegetable, with retail sales accounting for 51% within the fresh produce category. So how is the potato sector faring here in Donegal, and how is this year's crop shaping up? I've been speaking with the Donegal representative on the IFA National Potato Committee, Muff Farmer Donald Logue.
There's potatoes people actually starting to dig. You know, the Queen's as well on there now, and there's people there actually starting to dig first pinks. So they are, and basically turning out good enough crops. They're going to be in Donegal anyway. It's looking like it's going to be decent enough crops this year. And there's even men there who has potatoes burnt off there. I would say it could be salads. And now my own pinks now is ready for digging and very good size. So they are, and coming out more or less pretty clean in the drill. So it has been a good enough season so far, with rain and heat, and soil does look to be in good condition as well.
And tell me, what are the chief varieties here in the county? Still much the same as in recent years?
Yeah, there seems to be a good selection of rooster and pinks in the county, so they do, and all looking good, and like they were done in exceptional conditions too. And no, I would say farms there, they're maybe 3-4 weeks ahead of schedule, could turn out to be an early potato harvest. So, and yields now, what people saying, yields seem to be on around the average, if not maybe somewhat, maybe a wee bit better.
And tell me, what about prices? What way are things going at the present?
Now, it's hard to gauge because there's still some old stuff lying about, and there's chat of anything between 550, 575 a tonne for a rooster. I'm not 100% sure what pinks is, but I would say pinks could be up around the same, if not maybe a wee bit more.
Now, you're the Donegal rep on the National Potato Committee, and I was reading there recently that there was actually a Dutch firm, DCA Market Intelligence, and that they were stating that the European potato market is under severe pressure. The acreage has gone up a lot, and there's some concern maybe about prices. Have you had feedback on that?
Not really. I don't really think it could maybe affect us too much. But now, you don't know. It's all down to supermarkets and packers. If they decide that they want to try and pull the price, they could head across water to get cheaper potatoes for processing and for the chipping market. But now, the chipping market is under pressure at the minute because certain companies are looking to dump a lot of spuds onto the market to pull the price down. I think within the last week or two past, there's certain companies, they are looking to flood the market to try and get market share, so which isn't 100% fair, Now, it all depends on the yield here in this country too. You know, that's the only thing I can really say.
Mm. Well, Donald, you're an organic tillage and horticultural farmer for quite a number of years. Tell us a little bit how some of your crops are faring out. Looks like the yields, I take it, will be pretty good this year.
Yeah, so we're growing cereal there at the minute, and it's a four-way combination, so it's barley, oats, peas and beans. Now, with the four-way mix, on the organic game, the more you can put in, it helps with disease and pest control, like, so it does. And that looks to be very good. Like, we've done a moisture test there on the barley and the oats and the peas, like, and they're all under 15%. So, like, a completely different contrast than this time last year, you know. And the potatoes is looking good too. Our organic ones, the potatoes are starting to kind of die off now. So it's a case now, I'd say within the next 3 to 4 weeks, we'll be looking to get them dug. But now, doing good. Good foliage this year, which helped in the weed control in the potatoes. As maybe your listeners would know, when you're organic, you haven't got the same tools as the conventional guys. But now, with good foliage and weeding methods, we're able to keep a good lot of the weeds at bay, you know. So, but they're looking good. And in the tunnels, tomatoes and lettuces, and that is looking very good. Field cabbage, now we've cut back and hit, but it's all going good. We're harvesting away there and selling away. So on my own end, I would be looking good. And you know, we have a right lot of orders on there now for the organic cereal. So everything's looking pretty all right now. So. And I can't complain.
And there would appear to be certainly a shift with more people going into the organic side of things. So the demand is there, and the prices, sometimes you can get that extra premium as well.
Aye, definitely. The demand is there. Like, there have been a big push with advisory services and all that to buy off local farms, and because a lot of the product that does come in into the country is pelleted. You know, a lot of it's fillers and usually always a grass pellet. You know, lead ingredient is usually lucerne and grass pellets, and it's always better to buy with a mixture of grains and the peas and the beans in it. You actually know what you're getting.
And Chagas, I know, have had a number of on-farm walks, and they're promoting things here in the Northwest, and certainly there seems to be a big take-up in people who are looking for more information.
Yeah, there is. At one stage, organics was like a taboo subject. Now it's becoming more relevant. It's becoming more popular. And to me, would be the only way my farm would go anyway. You know, because if I was to switch back to conventional and take conventional prices, I would dare say I'd be closing the gate.
So, in conclusion, you'd be pretty upbeat about going forward down the organic route.
Yeah, definitely. I know organics isn't for everybody. And to me, for the smaller scale farmer who has a part-time job or a full-time job off-farm as well, to me, I think it makes sense. But there is bigger farms in the country who's farming full-time, and like, I'd be farming full-time myself. And definitely, done right, it can be very profitable.
And that was Donald Logue, whose organic tillage and horticultural farm is in Muff. And he is, of course, the Donegal representative on the IFA's National Potato Committee. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until the next time, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 28th of August. The death has occurred of Terence Cunningham, Riverdale Heights, Killybegs. House strictly private, please, this evening. Reposing at his residence tomorrow and Saturday from 12 noon until 9 p.m. Removal on Sunday morning at 10:30 to St. Mary of the Visitation Church, Killybegs, for 11 o'clock funeral mass with burial afterwards in the local cemetery. The mass will be streamed on mcn.live. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or MacBrearty funeral directors. The death has taken place of John Lynch, 469 Killay, Carrigans, reposing at his late residence until 9 o'clock this evening and again tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Rosary each evening at 9. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 9:40, going to the Church of the Immaculate Conception, Killay, for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass, followed by burial in All Saints Church Cemetery, Newton Cunningham. The Mass can be viewed at newtonkillayparish.com. Family flowers only, please. The death has taken place of Dan Laverty, Ballymena, Glengad, Mallon. Dan's remains are reposing at his home until 10 o'clock tonight and again tomorrow from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 20 past 10 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Patrick's Church, Ahaclay, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family Flowers Only Please, donations in lieu of desired to the Irish Cancer Society, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. The death has occurred of Cornelius Con McCaig, 1 West Block, Mount Anthony, RD Road, Rathmines, Dublin 6, formerly of Torhead, County Antrim, and Letterkenny, Donegal. Reposing at Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, from 3:30 until 4:30 tomorrow afternoon, concluding with removal to the Church of the Irish Martyrs, Ballyrain, for reception prayers at 5:00. Reposing there overnight for 11:00 Requiem Mass on Saturday morning, which can be viewed online at the Church of the Irish Martyrs YouTube channel. It'll be followed by interment in the family plot at Conwell Cemetery. Family Flowers Only Please, donations in lieu of desire to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Catherine McNulty, née Wilkinson, Umar Fad, Creasla. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass in St. Michael's Church, Creasla, on Saturday afternoon at 3:00. Burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed on mcn.live. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family Flowers Only Please, donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or James Harkin, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of John James Ward, 6 Mill Glen, Glen Crow, Moville. John James's remains are reposing at his home, which is private to family and close friends, please. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 9:30 for 10:00 Requiem Mass in St. Pius X Church, Moville, followed by interment in Ballybrack Cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on movilleparish.com. Family Flowers Only Please, donations in lieu of desired to Parkinson's Research Ireland, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin, Funeral Director. And the death has occurred of Rosaline McCool, Glebe Stranorner, reposing at her late residence until 9:00 this evening and again tomorrow from 1 p.m. until 9. Rosary nightly at 9. Funeral from her late residence on Saturday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate Stranorner at 11:00. Interment in Drumbo Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, directly to the Donegal Hospice or care of any family member. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.